Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 25th of July, recording at 7:17 p.m. British Summer Time. Well, first the highlights. As far as stock markets are concerned, liquidity still rules, especially in Asia and some of the emerging markets elsewhere. Government bonds continuing to encounter profit-taking and selling pressure for the most part. Dollar hanging in the balance here. I maintain that we have seen at least a penultimate peak, if not the peak, for this particular rally phase, which we've seen for pretty well the first 7 months. We haven't quite completed the first 7 months of the year, but we've seen the dollar rally throughout. And in terms of precious metals, a bit steady-ish in here. Bottom of the range stuff for a lot of them. Okay, let's go back to these stock markets. Now, I think the Asian markets were pretty much a hot property, certainly as far as I was concerned, before that Chinese announcement regarding the yuan. Now, I think there was a lot of smoke and mirrors to all that, and it's unclear exactly what they've done, but so what? It's galvanized people's attention, and they have focused more dramatically on Asia quite recently. So, you know, it's the same old story. It doesn't matter what the reason is. What really counts is the change in sentiment and where the money flows, and it is flowing into Asia. And look at some of the markets moves that we've seen in here today. I posted some of them. I haven't posted them all because, well, there are too many, and some of them I've posted recently, but we saw India in here today breaking up out of that little tight range that it had been in for a while. That J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust that a number of us have, and I know a great many of you also have the India Fund, but the which I didn't look at today, but that J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust got up to nearly to 200. That was a little bit too much of a roundophobia area there, and it backed off. But you know, the chart action is still good. But having said it's still good, it's also unsustainable beyond the short to medium term in here, and will inevitably be followed by a reaction. But as I said in comment of the day, you know, it's a case of make hay while the sun shines. And I'm not thinking so much about getting out and taking the profit unless it does something truly ludicrous on the upside. But it's consolidating enough for me to feel that I would ride out a correction and aim to pick up more if it did come off. Now, also, we've seen Malaysia push right back up, and I think just punch through to a new high for the year. That's had that was firm anyway, and it's had a good lift since the Chinese yuan announcement. And a dog in my portfolio, and I know therefore some of yours, which I haven't mentioned all that frequently recently, but is the Malaysian fund, that U.S. listed fund, and it's lagged way behind the index, and that to me is unforgivable. It just says to me that the managers don't really know what they're doing. So that has, however, pushed up fairly sharply in here recently, not as much as the Asian, I beg your pardon, as the Malaysian stock market index. But I'm looking to come out of that, and not because I have any qualms about Asia, but I have a lot of qualms about the management of the Malaysian fund. That's code MF, and it's a U.S. listed fund. I can certainly get better performance than that in the Asian markets. Now, what else to mention here? Well, I think the important point, and Friday will be my last, this is not the important point, but I say Friday will be my last day here before the long summer cycling holiday, Mrs. Fuller's tour to Gourmand. But what Owen and I have been discussing here is that the uptrends are so clear and consistent that when they run into trouble, it should stand out. It should be quite apparent on the charts. So we should be able to identify at least near-term peaks, or what I often describe, once we get a downward dynamic and I say, okay, what do we actually know in terms of technical facts? We've got a really clear downward dynamic on a number of those lead indices. Then we can usually conclude, well, we've seen a peak of at least near-term significance. Now, the higher markets have gone in the interim, the more important that peak actually becomes. And if it's a really important peak, we'll see several downward dynamics, whether the market hits straight down or whether they where they range about. They usually thrash around for a bit, retest the highs and so on, and then get further downward dynamics. So the technical, what I'm saying is the technical deterioration should stand out fairly clearly. Now, there's no point in having sleepless nights over this. I'd rather just enjoy what's going on in here, and then when those dynamics do start to occur, take it into consideration. I'm kind of hoping it won't happen while I'm away on my cycling holiday throughout August. But I will be leaving you in capable hands. I'm kind of hoping that I will not be away. Beg your pardon, I was c kind of hoping that it would not occur while I'm away, because I'd like to be able to discuss it and discuss it for you, and just deal with the queries that come in and so on. But as I said, a point worth repeating, I'm leaving you in very capable hands. Oh, and we'll have no trouble in spotting any dramatic changes, that sudden changes that occur in August. And we like to sort of start ringing bullish bells or bearish bells fairly quickly in a move. We don't want to wait for a whole lot of confirmation. It's putting it in context that's the important point, and something I've stressed, I think, over and over again, in that I'm probably not going to try to time some of my really important core positions, such as at J.P. Morgan Fleming India Trust, unless it does something absolutely ludicrous on the upside. It's been surprisingly good so far, surprisingly, in that it's I'm a bull, but it's done more than I would have expected or hoped for over the first nearly 7 months of this year. What's more important for me is the timing of offloading some things that I don't like all that much, such as the Malaysian fund, and having some cash in addition to cash that I already have available for picking up. The real timing call will be picking up things like the India fund and the Investec Global Energy fund when they've pulled back to levels that look like attractive entry points for adding to these really attractive long-term investment holdings. Now, what else should I mention here for you? I touched on the bonds, just saying that they're a little bit soft in here, and I think that what people are assessing in the markets, and is something that I'd commented on actually before the yuan revaluation, if that's what it is, that if the currency did start to appreciate a little bit against the US dollar, and that we would, if it was allowed to do so, in other words, that we wouldn't see quite so much Chinese buying of the US Treasury bonds. But as I've mentioned, I think in last Friday's audio, that a lot of people have just been buying these bonds on the basis that they felt that there was just a wall of Chinese money and perhaps Japanese money that would be pushing these things up in perpetuity. Well, markets don't work that way, and I maintain that the long-dated government bonds don't offer value, and they are dangerous in here, but they'll be more dangerous later on than short-term. I mean, the mere fact that they're dangerous means I wouldn't want to be long, and I would prefer to be short more often than not. Okay, US dollar here. Again, a lot's going to depend on how people actually perceive the information. And there are two factors that they're weighing up currently: the interest rate cycle, which is a tailwind, US interest rate cycle, which is a tailwind for the dollar, And then the thought of, well, the general consensus that China's just taken one of what are likely to be many steps in terms of gradually moving over a period of many years, probably towards full convertibility of its currency. We aren't going to see that anytime soon, if at all. But which one of those themes, in other words, is going to hold sway? And then at some point, people will conclude that they have seen most of the Fed's interest rate increases, although they jumped the gun on that earlier on in the year, as I pointed out at the time. Now, these factors and others in the market are enough to create some uncertainty, and we certainly see that reflected in a sort of balancing out of the supply and demand factors, which have caused the U.S. dollar index to lose that upward momentum to go into a ranging phase in here. And I maintain to say that if we haven't seen the final peak for this year's rally, that we've probably seen a penultimate peak for it, and that even if the dollar is bottoming out down around the 80 level, and I suspect that will be retested and go a little bit lower. And I think it's quite a good possibility that the dollar is bottoming out down in that area. My expectation all along was that we'd see the 80 level tested and get a bounce from that level, and then we'd go back to that level and probably go through it and around the historic lows that we saw in the 1990s. And you can still find those charts on the on the website using the search engine if you wanted to have a quick review of those. So, what are the implications here in terms of currency trading? Well, if you're long against the dollar, I'd like to have something with a reasonable yield. My long positions, I mistimed the entry points of the Aussie and the New Zealand, or the last my last times of going in, I mistimed it. Not so much on the earlier ones, earlier purchases. But what is of considerable interest and concern to me is the nature of this dollar activity over the next few months, because I am well and truly positioned for a softer dollar phase with my precious metal holdings. And uncertainty would probably be enough to cause them, or just a ranging pattern, I should say, in the US dollar would probably be enough for them to stay moderately steady overall, as we've seen with gold recently, because the bull story extends well beyond the US dollar. But there's no doubt, as in my mind, and I've said it on many occasions, that if the market sniffs that the dollar index, let's say, is on its way from 90, it's around the 89 level right now, but if it's on its way back down towards the 80 level, that precious metals are in for some really meaty gains here overall. Now, the industrial metals, I haven't been looking at them today, but they were pretty steady not long ago. Well, just having a look now, copper's up a little bit, and we had some light profit taking in some of the others. But the patterns, well, the copper is very much in the leading position, and as long as copper doesn't experience a sharp downward dynamic anytime soon, my hunch is that the others will appreciate as well, and some of them have firmed up in the last couple of weeks or so in here. And the US economy is not so weak to cause any undue alarm in this area, and I would argue that China is not so weak as to cause any undue alarm in this area, and the industrial metals are less dollar sensitive than the precious metals. And what else to mention here for you? Oil, secular bull market, reasonably firm in here within a overall consolidation phase. And we're up a little bit in here today, trading at 59.03 on the spot price, and that's well off the lows that we had seen earlier in the day, down at 57.65. And the rebound has put a little pressure on Wall Street here. Now, if we get, well, it's not if, it's when we get When we next get a big spike on the upside in the oil price, that will certainly be a very, very strong headwind for global stock markets. It's the sort of thing that could nip this current very, very good technical rally in equities in the bud. I think we've got a little bit more time before that happens, but the thing about oil is not only is the long-term fundamental story so good in my view, but also it's sort of, well, there's sufficient supply-demand balance, so any kind of accident fears on the production side could lead to a fairly sharp surge. Now, I mentioned the Investec position earlier on, so I don't need to review that, except it's just a core holding that I like very much, like Investec Global Energy Fund. And in terms of the grains, probably back closer to a buying area than a selling area. Ditto cotton, which you've seen come down. Ditto natural gas, but I would want to see an upward dynamic on that chart just to reduce risk a little bit in what's a volatile commodity before considering a long trade. I certainly won't be opening any more trades here between now and the going on holiday. And I think that's pretty much a wrap of the main action and my thoughts here, folks. So all the best.